Well, good morning. You guys can grab a seat. My name is Pastor Rob. I am the next gen pastor here at Long Grove Community Church, and it is truly a blessing to be standing before you guys. I count myself blessed to be entrusted with the word of the Lord, and I've been praying all week that I would do that justice. Really excited to continue this series as we are talking about a church worth becoming. We are going to be continuing our passage. Pastor Dell has done an amazing job digging into the Word, being sensitive to the Spirit. If you have not listened to the last two sermons, I cannot encourage you enough. Go back and listen to them. We'll be diving in. As I was studying, I was remembering the first time, like when I got my driver's license for the very first time. Anyone remember that moment? I grew up in the East Coast, so I spent junior high and high school in New Jersey, which they have even less trust for kids in cars. Everything is a couple years later. So even the friends that I grew up with who were getting their full license at 16, I had just gotten my permit at 16. Everything's pushed back a little bit further. But I remember that feeling when I got my license for the first time. It was my birthday. And I knew I was having a party, and I remember, you know, there was a girl who I had invited to my party. There's always a girl, and I had the biggest crush on her, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna text her and be like, hey, can I pick you up and bring you to my party? You know, kind of that, like, because I can drive now. And she was like, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. And I remember driving, and the windows were down. Forget that, it was the middle of December. Like, I was like, I'm gonna put them down anyway. I had the music cranking. I felt so free. Nobody telling me how to drive. Nobody in the passenger seat. Just me and the open road. And for about 15 minutes, I thought, this is what freedom feels like. And then I bumped the guy in front of me. And I learned freedom comes with limits. That's a hard lesson to learn. And thankfully, the guy who was in front of me was very kind and gracious. He definitely glowered at me as he got out of his car and slammed his door behind him. I dinked him a little bit. You could barely even see it, but I still dinked him. So thankfully, I didn't get that on my record. Very first license, he's just like, you know what, just go. Because I told him it was my birthday and just got my license. And he's like, just go. Don't do it again. Be more careful. It's like, okay. And so, yeah, I learned freedom comes with limits. Because freedom without boundaries isn't freedom at all. It's chaos. And it doesn't take long before chaos ends in a crash. And that is exactly what's happening in the church at Corinth. You know, they were saying things like this. They were saying, everything is permissible for me. We're going to read that in just a minute. And they had taken that, and in other words, they basically said, I can do what I want. That, like, I'm not under the law anymore. That, you know, because of Jesus, I'm not under the law anymore. I'm free. I can do what I want. And they took Paul's teaching on grace, because Paul's actually quoting, they're quoting him, and he's bringing it back. Because Paul is talking about the freedom that we have in Christ, because we do have freedom in Christ. But they took that and they said, you know, we're saved, you know, the idea that, the, you know, Paul's teaching on grace, which was, we are saved by what Christ has done, not what we do. And they twisted it into a license to live however they wanted. And so Paul is writing back to remind them and also to remind us that freedom in Christ isn't about doing whatever we want. It's about being free to do what brings glory to God. So we're going to open up 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. But before we do, let me pray for us as we dive into this word. Dear God, I submit to you. It is in preaching passages like this that I am reminded that I am broken. That there is not a pastor alive this side of heaven who is not also a sinner, who is not also broken. And so God, I pray that the words that that come out of my mouth are not of my own, but they are of you, Father. That God, that every brother and sister who hears these words today would not feel the shame that leads to the enemy, but God, the conviction that leads to your throne, to your goodness, to your mercy, to your love. And God, I pray that we as a church would become the church that you describe in your holy word, not as a church that is, not a church that is listed, that is shown on social media or by what this world standards of what a church should be, but a church that is grounded and rooted in your word. God, we thank you, we love you, we give you this time, and it's in your name we pray, amen. All right, well, I want to read this whole passage, this will probably seem familiar to you, but starting in verse 12, it says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are a part of Christ's body? So should I take part of Christ's body and make it part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For Scripture says the two will become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body." So we're going to be, I thought a very fitting title for this morning's message was A Temple Worth Becoming. You know, we're talking about a church worth becoming. And right here we're learning that we are a temple. And so that we need to talk about how we are a temple worth becoming. And so my first point for this morning is that freedom has a purpose. Freedom has a purpose, and I want to focus, let's look again on verse 12. It says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power." So Paul begins by quoting the Corinthians back to themselves. You know, it's important as we're reading scripture that we see there is reason that there are quotation marks around those words, "Everything is permissible for me." And so what he's saying is that the Corinthians here are under this belief that like all things are lawful for me. And so the people of Corinth had taken and twisted, as I said earlier, Paul's law-free gospel and used it to justify their sin. And so the Corinthians were using freedom as a cover for indulgence. They were confusing freedom from sin with freedom to sin. They viewed the physical body as well as morally unimportant to God. That they were going, God focuses on the soul, so what I do with my body is unimportant. And so freedom in Christ isn't the right to do anything. It's the power to do what glorifies God. And so what he does is he quotes this twice and adds some addition to them. Because first he says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is helpful. A few chapters later, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says the same phrase again, followed by the words, "Not everything builds up." And so what I learned is by diving deeper into this is our heart, the benefiting, helping, it's not about ourselves, it's about others. And so We are called to use our freedom to help others, build others up in faith. Freedom isn't meant to self-serve. It's meant to build others up. And so that idea of going, just because you can, doesn't mean that it's helpful. Doesn't mean that it builds people up. And then the next thing he says, that everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Other versions say that I will not be enslaved by anything. That's powerful. Because what Paul is asking, essentially, is in whatever you're doing, who has the power in that relationship? Who has the power in that? Because just because something is good, because here's the thing, what I want to be very, very clear about as we continue to dive deeper is that God created these things to be good, okay? God created food to be good. Otherwise, it would be tasteless mush. That is a gracious thing that God has given us, that we have flavors of spice and sweet and savory. We food is good. Amen. That's why when we have a potluck after service some days, it's good. Taste and see. I'm sorry, hold on. And like the other thing, like we'll go into this more, but like sex is good. If you have been told that it's bad, that it's wrong, that it's dirty, sex is good. And in the context that God made it, it is a beautiful and powerful thing. And so what I don't want us to lose sight of is that God gave us good things that we should enjoy. But the problem is when those good things become God things. And so what he's saying is going, in everything that we're consuming and everything that we're doing and spending our time with, who has the power in that relationship? You or this act? Because that's real freedom. Not the absence of boundaries, but the presence of self-control through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as we continue in verse 13, 14, he's actually quoting the people of Corinth again as they're viewing their physical bodies as morally unimportant to God. Okay, so once again, this is them talking where they say food for the stomach and the stomach for food. They're basically like, pass the potatoes. Keep loading it on. You know, these are the same people who only a chapter earlier are boasting about an act of incest in the church. And so Paul is coming here and saying, is opposing this view with all his might. He gave them a new and radically different slogan. He says, the body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. The body is not just going to be destroyed. It is going to be raised. The body is not morally indifferent. It is for the glory of God. And so he's coming again and going, you know, and I love that, because what that is saying is that the Lord is he wants us to enjoy the body that he's given us. He wants us to take care of that. And that our body is also in return supposed to give glory to the Lord. So they were asking the wrong question. I think so many of us do this. That, you know, kind of going, oh, is this permissible? Is this allowed? How far can I cross the line with not actually like falling over? Right? We're like, how far can I dip my toe in where I can say, oh, no, I stepped back before I went too far? Can I do this? And Paul's saying that's the wrong question. The question is, does it glorify God with my body? So the issue here isn't freedom. It's how we use it. And so adding another, you know, piece to that, to my first point, is that freedom has a purpose, and that purpose is to lead us into holiness, not back into bondage. Freedom has a purpose, and that is to lead us into holiness, not back into bondage, not back into the sin that we, you know, keep stepping into. I think about fire, okay? How many of us like fire? We're excited about songs about the fire? Okay, cool. All right. I had a huge fascination with fire as a kid. Love it. Love being able to play with it. I may have absolutely played with some matches and burned some patches in my carpet. I'm learning more and more that my parents have been following, watching online, so they're laughing right now, possibly. But the idea of like fire in a fireplace, it's beautiful, right? It brings warmth. It brings comfort. We're about to enter in. Like, I love that fall season where you can start a nice little fire and get toasty warm and everyone's wearing their flannels. But when the same fire leaves the fireplace, you lose control. And it destroys everything that it touches. The problem is not the fire. It's the boundaries. And God's boundaries for our bodies, our desires, and our choices aren't there to ruin our fun, the joy, but they're there to protect our freedom. Because when we live within God's design, freedom flourishes. However, when we ignore his design, freedom burns us. So ask yourself, where have I mistaken freedom for control? Where am I letting something lawful dominate my heart? Because Paul says, I will not be dominated by anything. That's what real freedom looks like. Not the absence of boundaries, but the presence of self-control through the Spirit. As we continue reading, the other point that I want us to emphasize, and what I love about giving points like this, is that it is more and more evident that these words are from the Lord and not me, because I'm quoting scripture. So I'm plagiarizing, but I'm giving all credit to the Lord. Your body is not your own. That's my second point. Paul moves from freedom to belonging. Okay, I want to read this second part again. Let's look at verse 15 through 20. It says, don't you know that your bodies are a part of Christ's body? So should I take part of Christ's body and make it part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For scripture says, the two will become one flesh, but anyone joined to the Lord is one in one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body. There's so much good in that. I was talking with Pastor Dell yesterday, and I was like, dude, we could preach 12 messages just on this. But Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? This is not a spiritual metaphor. It's literal. That if you are in this room and you have chosen to follow Christ, your body is now joined to Christ. And so the Corinthians lived in a culture that separated body and spirit. They thought that what you did with your body didn't affect your soul. And Paul is coming in and correcting them, saying that you could not be more wrong. Now, I recognize we're streaming this, so I recognize that I might get canceled for this. But the Bible is very clear. God made sex to be in the context of marriage between one man and one woman. Sexual sin is serious. Why? Because our bodies are not ours. We belong to Christ. We have been redeemed by him. We have Christ dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. Paul could not make it more clear that sex is an act of bodily oneness. He is quoting Ephesians, his own words. He's quoting Genesis when he is saying that you should leave your mother and father and become one with your wife. And so Paul is making it so clear. He's going, if our bodies are members of Christ, how can we even think about joining Christ's body with a prostitute? Now, I get it. Most of us aren't visiting prostitutes like Corinth. But this is about a shifting of the mindset. Because as Christians, we should not be opposed. We should be opposed to sexual immorality. But the reasoning for that is everything. We are not opposed to sexual immorality because we are a bunch of self-righteous prudes. We're opposed to sexual immorality because we believe that our bodies belong to Christ and that in our minds as followers of Christ, we need to be asking ourselves the tough, seemingly obvious but important questions. Because Paul is phrasing an example here, a very real one for the people of Corinth, but he could very easily to our church be going, would Jesus' body commit adultery? Would his body look at pornography? Would his body dress suggestively to attract attention? Would his body live in promiscuity? Would his body enter a same-sex relationship? Jesus is not pleased when his body, the church, acts in ways that his body and his flesh would never act. But at the same truth, the opposite is also true. That God gets glory when we flee from sexual immorality. And while I'm here ruffling feathers already, I'm going to take it one step further. Because we hear it all the time. My body, my choice. It's become the rallying cry of the abortion rights movement. But in actuality, we take and apply the slogan to all of life. Many of you in this room this morning, if I asked you, would you agree with this statement? You would go, absolutely not, Pastor Rob. I am pro-life. But then we go home and gorge ourselves on all the leftover Halloween candy that we didn't give out. And we open up our laptops and our phones and our tablets and just let our minds and our fingers wander. And we spend extravagant amounts of money to try to hold an image. Our world preaches one extreme, and the sermon is do what you want, with whom you want, when you want. That sermon has been heard and applauded in every generation by those who want to live with no restraint. Brothers and sisters, I'll be the first to admit that I've seen the consequences of that in my own life, and we can see the consequences of that all around us. That phrase that it's my body and I can do with it whatever I choose, Paul says, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's just simply not true. It is not your body. You were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body. I love, that is a beautiful passage at the end. You were bought at a price. You were bought, redeemed, purchased. And the price wasn't small. It wasn't silver or gold. It was the life of Jesus, his body broken for you, his blood poured out for you. That's how much you are worth to God. And when you realize what he paid, when that head knowledge goes to our heart, you stop living like you're cheap. Because the price that God paid for you wasn't cheap. That wasn't an easy decision. I mean, it was easy for him. When When you realize what he paid, you stop living like you're cheap. You stop chasing the things that diminish you. You stop using freedom for self and start using it for worship. Brothers and sisters, I'll be honest, preparing this message for this morning is hard. Because one of the things that the Word of God is really good is it works really great like a mirror. Get to take a really nice good look at yourself. I don't ever want to stand up here like a hypocrite, but unfortunately, that's what I'm called to do by the Lord. Because this side of heaven, I'm going to struggle with sin until I get to the other side of heaven. So I don't want you to think that I'm standing up here like I got everything together. But man, it convicts me. This convicted me this week. It was heavy this week. It was hard this week. And another point of honesty, my family felt it a little bit. My wife and I kind of got into things a little bit yesterday. Because this is heavy and hard stuff. To have a mirror pointed right at you and kind of go, oh, there's all that. This leads me to our final point this morning. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know you guys are blown away. How did Pastor Rob come up with that final point? Just a lot. I prayed a lot. When you come to faith, the Holy Spirit doesn't just visit you. He takes up residence in you. You become his dwelling place. You are quite literally holy space. You carry the presence of God wherever you go. I don't know about you right now, but when I hear that, I am equal parts blessed and scared out of my mind. And we should be. Because it changes everything. You cannot, as hard as you might try, there is no way that you can separate your spiritual life from your physical life. The way you live in your body, your integrity, your appetites, your relationships, your discipline, all of it says something about who you belong to. And I stand up here as a guy that when I step on a scale, I am listed as obese. Okay? I'm not calling the kettle black here. This is, once again, I'm coming with a humble heart here. And I recognize, as everyone else, we are works that are unfinished business, right? God is still in the process. When we use our bodies for sin, we join Christ to what he died to free us from. Let me say that again for those of you in the back. When we use our bodies for sin, we join Christ to what he died to free us from. On the flip side, when we use our bodies for righteousness, we reveal his presence. When we use our bodies to bring the Lord glory, we reveal his presence to the world. Paul's heart in this is not to shame. He's reminding the church, he's reminding the church of Corinth, you belong to Jesus. He's going, your body is not a prop in your story. It's a vessel in the Lord's. Holiness is not about perfection. It's about alignment. It's about saying, God, my body is yours. My time, my desires, my strength, all of it is yours. That's worship. And as I studied this passage, I kept thinking back to something that Pastor Dell said two Sundays ago when he talked about Jesus clearing the temple. Jesus didn't go in the temple and decide to flip tables because he had a bad day. He flipped the tables because worldly things had invaded a space that was meant to be holy. I don't know about you, but when I heard Dell speak those words, I was like, ouch. I heard the Holy Spirit was like, ouch. The temple was the dwelling place of God. And now that dwelling place is us. That temple is us. And so a church worth becoming is a church that honors God with our bodies together. Paul's message to Corinth and to us is that holiness is not just personal, it's communal. We gotta do this together. I've tried doing it alone. It doesn't work. And when we live as people bought by Christ, we reflect his worth to a watching world. When we use our freedom to serve instead of indulge, when we treat our bodies as temples instead of toys, when we live like we belong to someone greater, the world doesn't just hear about Jesus, it sees him. That is what we need. We don't need more people talking Jesus, we need more people seeing Jesus. They hear it all the time. And that's what Paul is saying, and he's been saying all along. So my big idea, my hope that you take away, if you take nothing else, you get this. Because we belong to Christ, our freedom should reflect his holiness. Our lives, our bodies, are temples that reveal his glory. That's a temple worth becoming. That's a church worth becoming. Man, I think it is amazingly perfect and beautiful that we are ending our time in communion. You know, Paul says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And we get to experience that. That's what communion reminds us of. That every time we come to the table, we remember the cost of our freedom. The bread represents his body given for you. The cup represents his blood poured out for you. And so when you take that bread and you dip it in the cup, and I want you to practice that today, if you are so bold, that when you grab the bread and you dip it in the cup, you declare, God, I remember what it cost. I belong to Christ. My life, my body, my everything, it's yours. And so before we come, I want to encourage you to pause and ask yourself two things. Where have I been living like I still belong to myself? Where have I used freedom for myself instead of surrender? Bring that to Jesus. Lay it at the foot of the cross. I'm going to pray for us in just a minute, and then after I pray, you guys can come forward. But I'm going to invite our elders to come forward as well. Just a quick reminder that communion is if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you are welcome to take communion, whether Long Grove Community Church is your church home or not. You are welcome. However, if you are struggling, if you're wrestling, brothers and sisters, I mean it right now, if you're struggling with sin, if you've got the conviction of the Holy Spirit weighing down on you, take a moment with the Lord. Confess that. But brother, sister, do not come up here if you're not willing to lay that down at the foot of the cross. Because we come up here to realize what it cost. And our pride does not belong up here. We need to lay that down and confess that. I mean that with all love. I truly do. But you'll come up here and you'll take the bread, dip it in the cup and take it. We also, for those of you who would like it, we have gluten-free options as well that we'll bring up here as well. But I'm going to ask that as I pray, we'll have our elders come up. Take a minute. Be with the Lord right now. And when you're ready, and as you feel led, come forward. Father, thank you for buying us back. God, thank you that you paid the ultimate cost for buying us back to you. Thank you that our lives and our bodies belong to you. And as we take this bread and this cup, remind us God, remind us of the price that we paid. That he paid. Remind us of the price that was paid. And renew in us a desire to glorify you with everything we are. In Jesus' name, amen.